Good evening, and welcome to Around Cincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito, and tonight I'll be joined by author Jim Nunn, who's written a biography of the great drummer John Von Ohlen. The book's entitled It's Gotta Swing. And a blurb from the back of the book states, "A cymbal's swinging sound. Woody and his thundering herd. Stan Kenton and the Baron. The heart-stopping voice of Rosemary Clooney. The mountains of the Himalayas. The Blue Wisp Big Band. It's all part of his gig, John Von Ohlen." Jim, a pleasure to have you with us this evening.
Well, thank you, Ron. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cool. So how did this book on John Von Ohlen come about?
Well, I've played at the drums a little bit for years and followed a little bit of the jazz scene and such. And I was working for, my background's in publishing, and I was working for a small trade publisher in town, but more to the point, I lived across the street from Mary Ellen and John for a number of years, and I'd just wave at them and say, hey, the band's playing, you know, Wednesday nights, that kind of thing, and of course they would be. And so with this trade publisher, I approached them and said, you know, John Von Ohlen, man, there could be a story there. And they gave it some serious thought, but it wasn't a go. So John and I would chat it up a little bit on the street, and I said, hey, I'm not a professional writer, but I'll write it. And of course, as you know, John, it was like, hey, yeah, what the heck? And he's probably a little surprised that the book looks like a real book with a cover and stuff, because he said, hey, can we, you know, just some pages kind of telling my story. So that's how it worked. And then John and I would sit over coffee for hours over the last couple of years, as well as he would have a cassette deck at his home, and he'd just talk about whatever came to him at the moment. And I'd prod him with different questions, trying to fill in the gaps. And finally, I thought, man, I gotta get this together. So now we've got the book.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about John's upbringing and early days in Indianapolis, Indiana?
John grew up in Indianapolis, and John studied music, and he started playing music at a very young age. And his father was not a musician, but he encouraged John doing different things and helped him out as much as he could, getting everything from an accordion to a horn. And then John, on his first date, because he was not old enough to drive yet, but they went to hear Stan Kenton, and his father drove as a good chaperone, and they didn't have any wheels. And so, as John tells it from the parking lot, he heard the swinging sound of Mel Lewis on the cymbal, and he just followed it like a bee to honey. And by the time the night was over, he said, I was a drummer. You know, he didn't have a drum set, and he didn't get one for a little while longer, but he was just hooked. And that was it. And ever since then, drums, you know, that's how it all started.
It seems like John's grandmother, you know, kind of was a stern hand, and John's father, you know, maybe a little bit lighter, a little more supportive.
Absolutely. His grandmother was a real taskmaster. I think she was quite religious, and she saw a lot of sin and a lot of things in the world. And so I guess it was not easy having her in the household. And John's father, though, was a he thinks very highly of his father, and he was a good guy, and he even learned more about him as life went on, what a good person he was. But so anyway, the father encouraged him to, you know, try different things. And again, one thing, along with John's natural ability, I think that the fact that he studied music for 6 to 8 years, so he knew how to read music, and so when he sat down at the drum set, he knew what was going on, and it was not an easy household for a while.
Yeah, talking about reading music, I remember when John joined the service and auditioned for the band, and interestingly enough, got turned down because he didn't know the 13 rudiments of drumming. You want to tell us about that?
Well, yeah, as anybody who's taken either a professional or taken a drum class, there are these, as you may know, sticking exercises that paradiddles, rolls, different exercises that you do. And it would certainly be important, I think, for the military because a lot of it's marching bands and such. And John was very much self-taught. And by the time he ended up in the military, he had played with big bands and he already knew his way to how to go with and lead a big band. But he didn't know anything about these required exercises. And And it is his own words, it was a disaster. But he was able to convince the guy when he explained some of his resume up to then as just a young guy. And the guy was like, wow, okay. And John said, I promise if you give me the grace period, I'll learn how to do them. And so he obviously accomplished it enough to where he ends up in the military band. This was in the early days of the Vietnam War. It was not as such a political hot potato, but still the thought of going over to this place in Vietnam and Southeast Asia and carrying a gun or playing in a band. And as John pointed out, he didn't, like I think a lot of people in the early 60s, he didn't know what was going on over there and that it would become the hot potato it later did for this country. But he wasn't really aspiring to being a rifleman in the military. So that might have been a motivation too.
So it seems like Woody Herman and Stan Kenton were two loomingly large figures in John's musical life as well as personal life.
You're right. And John first played with Woody, and John's explained to me that Woody Herman was so well known back then, the Thundering Herd, and it was referred to as the Young Thundering Herd. And he said 2 years with them, and you could just about write your ticket. So he played with them, and it didn't last for 2 years, but he played with Woody until he decided to go other places and do other things. And then Stan was, I guess, like his fantasy. You know, it was always to play drums with Stan Kenton after that night. And by golly, he did it. And Stan Kenton, he refers to as one of the more important people in his life, you know, along with a handful of others. But you're right, he did it.
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on that one record, Stan Kenton Live in London, where John is the drummer.
Yeah, well, as you know, there's a lot of stuff you can find here and there online, as well as good old YouTube. If you type in Stan Kenton in the right years, you can see there he is. There's John on the drums, man.
Well, as John progresses, he meets a guy and actually starts to get interested in things of a more spiritual nature.
He does, you're right. He had long had these interests, and he told me that during the course of his life, I imagine the younger days, he was even baptized twice. He was really looking for something that made more sense to him and helped him cope with, frankly, some of the things going on in his world. And you're right, in the military, he mentioned, and I don't remember the name offhand, but a certain spiritual person who had written and related to Hinduism, and a guy that he played in the band with was also into him, and when he heard John say that, they became friends, and John eventually ended up traveling in the Himalayas, and I remember I follow Buddhism a little bit and even did a weekend retreat once, and so a couple of years ago, I said to John, I said, have you ever done a retreat? Because I didn't, and he said, heck, man, I was in the Himalayas for months. It's like, oh, wow. So anyway, you're right. That was a very important part of his life.
Well, Rosemary Clooney looms large in John's life, didn't she?
She really did. I mean, it's a fun story about how they started to play together. I didn't mention this in the book, but he told me he actually played with her, I think it was at the Ohio State Fair, but he was for a week many years before they started to play together on a regular basis. But yeah, and he's mentioned to me that sitting back there and listening to her do a ballad, he said it would just about bring him to tears, and he didn't know how she could do it, and that she was a very special lady, and I know he thinks very fondly of the Clooney family, and that she was an important, it was all an important part of his life. It was an experience that he really cherishes.
Yeah, those records, when you listen to Rosemary sing straight up jazz, oh man, it is fantastic. So I could see where John would have just loved being with Rosemary Clooney. Hey, the inception of the Blue Wisp Big Band. Now, this is a legendary group in the tri-state area. And of course, for big band aficionados across the country, they know about the Blue Wisp Big Band. And I love that one record cover, Rolling with Von Olin,
right,
with that picture of John with the Cadillac. So why don't you tell us about the inception of the Blue Wisp Big Band?
Well, and you know, I've got to mention this. If a friend of mine, Jack Stuck, hears this interview, it was Jack's Cadillac. And he always, apparently they, you know, Jack's an old car collector. And so you're right, the cover of that album with the Cadillac and such. And so my understanding about the beginning of the Blue Wisp Big Band is that John played in the Steve Schmidt Trio, which was kind of the house trio at the Blue Wisp. And he got together with another guy, and they thought it would be great to have just a big band on Wednesday nights. And I guess when the other guy approached the musicians union, it was like, you got to charge, you know, whatever the going rate is for professionals. And there was no way they could do that. But the guy explained to the union, hey, we figured it'll only last a month or so, because all they were going to do is split any money they got from the door. And over 35 years later, they're still doing it now at Urban Artifact, that you may know, but they're still, these guys are still making it happen.
And I want to tell you, all the years that I've been hearing John Von Ohlen and small groups, and of course with the Blue Wisp big band, man, can this guy drive a group? Wow! With such confidence and verve. And well, let's just touch on one last thing here. I know that, you know, John had a very long relationship with the late singer Mary Ellen Tanner. Can you tell us a little bit about their relationship?
Absolutely. And you mentioned, we talked about Rosemary Clooney. Mary Ellen and Rosemary were quite close. So John said it wasn't unusual for them to be on the phone for a few hours. And they just, you know, they'd go and listen to each other sing and such. And I use John's description. When he met her, when they started to get together, he said, I think it was something like, the floor just fell out and all you can do is go with it. And they had, you're right, I guess there was magic between them, and it lasted a long time. And she, you know, it was special. So
we've only touched on a little bit of John's life that is in this book. It's got a swing. The John Von Ohlen story. But why don't we press pause and just let people know that this book is available at Abe Books, and there will be a link on the WVXU website to this biography of the great Cincinnati Jazz Hall of Fame drummer, John Von Ohlen. Well, Jim, it's been wonderful having you with us tonight.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great being here. And I can't, you know, again, express just what a great experience it's been that John let me into his life and we got to do this together. And so this is all just, it's great stuff. Thank you very much.
All right. We've been in conversation with author Jim Nunn, who's written a book about the great Cincinnati jazz drummer, John Von Ohlen. And the book is entitled, It's Gotta Swing. For more information about John Von Ohlen and the book, It's Gotta Swing, visit our website, wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito.